主后2012年正月十四，太平县马仔国纪念教会信徒座谈会，讲者者博伟志牧师，讲道题目《出埃及记》专讲第三讲。
Welcome back for lunch。
欢迎你们午餐后再回来。
Our task is difficult this afternoon。
今天下午我们要读的会比较困难一点。
It's not that the material is difficult。
不是这些资讯困难。
It's just that it's the afternoon。
只是因为下午，所以上课就会比较艰难。
If you fall asleep,
若是你睡着了,
please don't worry about it.
请不用担心,
just be quiet about it.
只要不要打呼。
Your teacher has bad eyes.
Bad
eyes.
哦, 你的老师的眼睛不是很好。
I'll never notice that you're sleeping.
你睡着了我也看不见。
I might fall asleep too, don't worry about it.
没关系,因为我有可能我自己也会睡着。
Let's get to work.
我们一起来。
We're looking in the book of Exodus.
我们在看出埃及记。
And we're looking in chapters 12 to 15.
我们现在看的是12章到25章。
We just got finished examining the theological significance of these chapters.
这一章我们已经看见它神学性的重要性了。
In that these chapters speak of our redemption.
这一章之前讲的就是说我们的救赎。
And they provide the clearest and most famous and well-known biblical picture of redemption.
它已经提供一个很清楚然后众所皆知的这样的一个救赎的画面。
We talked about some of the political significance of these chapters.
这一章我也谈到一些政治性的重要性。
We finished this morning by talking about some significance these chapters have for the family.
结束之前我们也提到在家庭的重要性。
Now we will look at the educational significance of these chapters.
所以现在我们来看看这几章里面谈到教育的重要性。
This is critically important.
这是非常的重要的。
These provide some of the most important educational concepts and tools for the entire body of Messiah.
这事实上也提供了整个在弥赛亚肢体里面很重要的最重要的那个教育的内容。
First of all,
首先
these chapters stress the importance of using God's remembrance tools for His children.
所以这是神给予他的百姓能够来记忆的工具，所以这是很重要的。
In Exodus chapter 12,
在出埃及记十二章
when God gave the instructions to remember the moment of redemption at Pesach every year,
神给他们这样的一个工具呢，可以每一年来记忆这样的救赎。
In verses 25 to 27,
从25节到27节
God specifically said,
神很明确地说
One reason to do all this is to teach your children.
你们要这么做的目的就是要来教导你们的儿女。
This, God gave remembrance tools in His scripture.
神给我们在他经文里面告诉我们可以来记忆住的可以纪念的工具方式。
These remembrance tools help us to remember His great acts of redemption.
所以这样的一个记忆的工具呢可以帮助我们来记得出埃及这样的一个救赎。
And they are to be used as tools to help to teach our children about redemption.
也成为可以教导我们儿女关于神救赎的工具。
Yet, for the most part, most of the Christian people ignore these tools.
但是确实有很多的基督徒忽略掉这样的工具。
We develop elaborate Sunday school programs.
然后我们在我们的主日学里面提供的太过于自由性的神学。
We develop expensive and elaborate teaching Sunday school teaching materials.
我们发展出一套非常昂贵自由神学的那种教导法。
And we wonder why our children are not growing up educated in their faith.
所以我们还在奇怪说为什么我们的儿女们不能在他们的信心信仰里面有成长。
It's because sometime in the last 2,000 years,
因为过去这2000年来
most Christian people have purposely ignored God's teaching tools.
大部分的基督徒是都忽略掉有意去忽略掉耶稣他真实的教导。
One of which is doing Pesach.
其中一个就是要守这节期。
Teach our children.
这节期就可以来教导我们的儿女。
This leads us to the bigger picture.
这个就是可以让我们看见更大的画面。
Pesach is just one day.
节期 是只有一天。
Leviticus chapter 23,
在利未记二十三章
presents a whole calendar of special days.
就把整年的特别的那日子都定出来了。
Where Pesach is only one of them.
那这些节期都是其中的一个。
In Leviticus 23, we have a whole calendar of very important special calendar days for God's people.
在利未记里面的那个历法呢，它的那个年历就已经标出每一年里面的每一个节期。
Two mistakes have been made regarding this calendar.
照着这样的一个那个年历呢，有两个很重要的节期。
Jewish people.
犹太人。
Have been teaching for a long time.
已经有很久这样的教导。
That this calendar is only for Jewish people.
说这样子的年历呢是只有给犹太人。
The second mistake.
第二个错误是。
Is that believers in Yeshua.
那些相信耶稣的信徒。
Have been taught.
被教导。
That this calendar is only for Jewish people.
这样的年历这样的节期庆祝只是给犹太人而已。
But God specifically said in Leviticus 23,
但是神在利未记二十三章很明确地说了
These are the appointed times of the Lord.
这是要指出在主的日子
Not the appointed times of Israel,
不是指说以色列的日子
But the appointed times of the Lord.
而是指出在神的日子
From an educational standpoint,
从这样的教育的部分的声明
Each of these special days listed in Leviticus 23
在利未记二十三章所指出来的每一个节日
of which Pesach is merely just one of them
节期也许就是它其中一个
provides the ideal teaching tool that every church is dying to have
所以这事实上已经指出每个教会都需要有这样的节期而且是要坚守的
But because we've been taught it's not for us,
但是因为我们被教导这节期不是我们需要过的
we're trying really hard to find equivalent things, so we can't find them.
所以就很难再找回它的那些意义了。
I would suggest,
我要这么建议
that we begin to rethink the Bible.
我们必须要重新思考圣经。
And when God says, teach your children,
当神说要教导我们的儿女
and provides teaching occasions to teach our children,
来提供这样子教导的环境来教导他们
let's do everything we can to learn what these are.
那我们可以尽所能在一切局限当中我们尽可能要教导他们
find out how to do it.
要找出该如何去做出来。
If we do,
若是我们这么做
，it will radically reshape our annual church calendar for one thing.
事实上会很奇妙、很大的翻转整个教会历的。
It will radically reshape our family calendars.
也会很大的来翻转整个家庭历。
And it will radically reshape the educational effectiveness.That we want to have for our children.
也会很大的来翻转到我们想要能够影响到我们后代传承给后代的。
We don't have time to go verse by verse through Leviticus 23.
我们没有时间讲利未记，一句一句的讲利未记。
What I just would like to do just for a few moments.
我想要做的是花一点点时间。
It's just mentioned the specific holy day mentioned there.
然后我是要指出在这里面有讲到的一些神圣的日子。
So briefly, how it can be used as an educational tool.
简短的介绍各位如何可以用这样的节期成为一个工具。
Jewish people, because Jewish people have done this for millennia.
因为犹太人使用这些成为一个节庆。
Are experts at it.
就是要去能够这么去探索，发展出来。
This calendar has been one of the things that have tied and held our people together.
这样的节期就帮助百姓可以聚在一起。
And it's been one of the things that has helped us to effectively communicate God to our children.
这也影响到我们如何跟孩子来谈论神。
This educational system involves all of our senses.
这样子的这样的教育方式要涵盖住我们所有的感官。
There are things to see.
就是要去看见。
We see families. That children can see families.
视觉就是要看见有这样家庭的结构。
Leaders.
还要看见领袖层。
The entire community.
还要看见整个社区。
Celebrating their redemption together.
在一起来庆祝他们的救赎。
They don't see leaders versus the people as if they're two classes of people.
他们不是说看见领袖或者是只是两个群体这样而已。
They see an equality in the body of Messiah.
他们看见的是在整个弥赛亚肢体里面每一个肢体的这样的价值。
And they see and participate with families, father and mother and brothers and sisters.
他们就用视觉去看见那个家庭的重要，也看见父亲、母亲、兄弟姐妹。
Celebrating certain days that emphasize our redemption.
在庆贺神已经指定的那个救赎的节期。
And in the actual celebration of these specific days,
在过去旧有时代他们庆贺这样的节期。
They see the Bible,
他们会看见有圣经。
They see appropriate foods,
他们又看见特定的食物。
They see other teaching tools involved in teaching these things.
他们也看见如何透过这些食物给出来的教导。
Then there's touching.
那是不是很感动人呢？
When these annual holy days are celebrated,
当这样的节期在开始的时候，
there are things to touch with our hands.
然后也有一些东西是手可以触摸得到的。
Things that the children hold in their hands.
是孩子手必须去握住的。
The foods for one thing.
食物是其中一个。
But the other implements used to observe these days.
还有在这些从东其还有其他东西在今日也是我们可以看得到的。
Setting the table for Pesach.
所以坐在那个已经布置了一个餐桌前。
Cooking the foods.
然后在那边煮食物。
Sharing recipes.
来分享这样的一个菜单。
Touching a shofar.
然后来触摸那个号角
for the Feast of Trumpets,
就是那个吹角节
putting up a booth for the Feast of Tabernacles,
然后在那个在祝棚节的时候看见他们如何来架那个棚子
This isn't just a church project,
这不是只是教会的其中一个活动
This is doing God's instructions about how to celebrate our redemption and the different aspects of it.
这是照着神的指示要来照着那个节期来过而且是一起来庆贺的
Then there's tasting of course
还有当然还有味觉
Remember what God said
还记不记得神说
Pesach
节期
The lamb
就是那个羔羊
The matzah
还有无酵饼
And the bitter herbs
还有苦菜
These are teaching tools that uses our taste to teach spiritual truths
这些都是教导的工具利用那个味觉来给儿童做教导
At least one of these special days, the Day of Atonement
就是还有那个那个 Atonement 是哪一个节赎罪日 OK 在赎罪日里
It's a day when we don't taste any foods.
在那一刻我们就不是尝任何的食物。
So the children will ask, why are we fasting this day?
然后孩子就问了，为什么在这个节气我们要进食？
Then there's smelling.
所以再来还有嗅觉。
The different aromas of the foods being cooked.
不一样的食物煮出来的香气。
Smelling the smell of the booth as you're putting it up.
闻到那放在那边摆出来的那些食物。
And if you lived in the days of the temple, you would have smelled all the smells involved in going to the temple.
如果是在那个旧时期那时候进到圣殿，你就闻到神设定的要怎么样烧那香，怎么烧那些，你就在那边进到圣殿就闻到那些不同的香气。
And of course, don't forget hearing.
然后不要忘记还有一个听觉。
Every one of these special days, Leviticus 23,
这些照着利未记二十三章所讲的这些节期
is an occasion to hear teaching.
都是为了要能够教导的一个情况。
Not necessarily preaching,
不见得只是传讲
but teaching,
而是教导。
Teaching from father or mother,
从父母来的教导。
Teaching from their uncles or aunts when they go visit their family during these holy days.
从那叔叔阿姨让大家庭聚集的时候也听见他们的教导。
On some holy days, it's appropriate to tell stories.
还有一些神圣的日子也会听到一些圣者他们开始传讲用故事在传讲。
And of course, they hear the people as they relate to each other.
还有听到那彼此有关联的人们的谈论。
It's not a place where you take your children out of the room to celebrate, for the adults to celebrate.
不是说要把孩子带开来，然后个别去庆祝。
Little children get to hear how adults relate to each other.
而是孩子们，小小孩就听见大人们如何彼此谈论，如何彼此连结。
And how they talk about the different concepts related to each of the holy days.
那边有个字错了，他们就可以从大人的谈论中来接收到不同的概念。
So these holy days,
所以在这些神圣的日子
once we learn what they are,
他们学习到他们自己是谁
what they are for,
他们为什么在这里
and how to observe them and celebrate them,
然后如何去观察如何去庆祝
were designed by God,
这些都是被神所设计
to be the complete teaching tool,
就是成为一个完整的一个教导的工具
teaching difficult theological concepts,
要教导那些 很难很困难的神学观念
Biblical history,
或者是教导那些圣经的历史
spiritual attitudes,
或者是属灵的心态
and involving all the senses in the learning process.
所以都关乎到包含涵盖了这所有的五觉观来都使用上了
Pesach is just one of them.
所以这节期就是可以成为教导工具的其中一个
The content of it, then there's what is the content that we actually teach in these days?
那事实上在那些日子他们所教导的内容是什么呢?
Well, here's where we give an example from Leviticus 23.
我们从利未记23章我们抓出一些例子来。
What's just, list each of the holy days mentioned there.
在那边提到的每一个圣洁的日子。
I will not explain them.
我不会一个一个解释。
Or give any elaborate instruction on them.
或者是给你很明确的让指示怎么过。
This is a really significant seminar all by itself.
因为事实上，假如说要解释的话，那事实上是另外要开那个另外的教导个别的教导课程。
I just want to whet your appetites.
然后我只是要给你们尝到味道，吊吊你们的胃口。
And if it's something you want to understand more, then good.
若是你们想要了解更多，那就是最棒的了。
Leviticus chapter 23,
在利未记23章
begins by talking about Shabbat.
那边开始谈论到就是安息日。
What can we learn in Shabbat?
从安息日我们可以学到什么呢？
What do families talk about on Shabbat?
在安息日那些人在谈论的话题是什么？
What do churches teach concerning Shabbat?
那在教会里面教导关于安息日是教导什么？
The main idea of Shabbat
安息日主要的意念
is stopping
就是停止
That's a hard concept for the Asian world
对亚洲世界来讲要停止停下来是最困难的一个观念
Stopping
就停止
Ceasing our labors
停下一切所做的工
Realizing that in Messiah
了解到在弥赛亚里
we have to cease our labors
我们必须要放下我们所做的工
that to believe in Yeshua
在相信耶稣
we stop doing anything
我们必须停下想要自己来做什么事
we rest totally in what he did for us
我们完全安息在他已经为我们所做成的了
and there's absolutely nothing that we could ever even think of
那些绝对是没有任何一个是你可以想得到的工作
that would cause God to love us more
可以让你赚得神更多的爱的
than what he has already done through the sacrifice and resurrection of Yeshua
事实上耶稣他的受死他的复活已经为我们成就这一切了
no amount of prayer
那知道不是说因着你有多祷告
No amount of prayer with tears
也不是说因为你流泪祷告
No amount of Bible study
也不是因为你多少读了多少圣经
No amount of small groups
也不是你参加多少小组
Or sharing the good news
或是你传多少福音
Can cause God to love us any more than what he does right now at this very moment
可以赢得赚得神对我们在此刻对我们的爱还要更多不可能还赚得更多爱因为他已经非常的爱
And God has provided an incredible gift
神已经提供这样很奇妙的爱的恩赐的礼物
One day out of the week
就是一周一天
He tells us to cease from our labors
所以这经文告诉我们要停下我们自己所做的工
To learn how to live what he means to live
要活出他定义要我们活的样式
to cease our activity,
来停止我们一切的活动,
and learn to rely totally in Him.
然后来学习如何完全依赖他,
and to remember that he paid it all, and all to Him we owe.
要记在这一日就是要记得他已经为我们成就一切，我们在他里面就已经能够完全安息了。
So on Shabbat,
所以在安息日,
families get together.
家庭要聚集在一起。
Families talk about what it means to rest in Messiah.
家庭就会彼此谈论什么叫做在弥赛亚里面安息。
We think about what it means to have Yeshua die for us.
我们就要想思想什么叫做弥赛亚为我们而死。
And we find ways to minister life into other people's lives.
我们就找到可以来服侍别人生命的一个方式。
Starting at home.
原来是从家中开始。
Our husbands learn to practice to give the wives the attention that they deserve.
那个丈夫就要开始那个实行运行出来运作出来他所领受到的智慧跟才智来分辨。
And parents learn how to give the children the proper attention that they deserve.
那父母要开始学习如何给予孩子神定义该有的这样的一个对孩子的专注。
Because they have ceased from their labors and they have time to practice God's life.
因为在这一日要停下一切的工，要来施行出来神定义的方式。
And when this is done, it becomes easier to live this kind of life every day of the week.
当这个成就的时候，你要活出每一个日子，都是每一天都活出这个样子，就容易多了。
And all five senses are involved in celebrating Shabbat.
所以在庆祝安息日，我们所有的五觉观都必须涵盖在这样的里面。
The next holy day Leviticus mentions is Pesach.
在第二十三章里面还提到另外一个，就是逾越节。
As we have been talking already.
那个早上我们已经谈过的。
Pesach is when God's people focus on redemption.
逾越节就是神的百姓要专注着这样神的救赎。
On the history of God's working among our people.
在这样的历史里面，神如何运行在他的百姓当中。
And on the redemptive work of Yeshua.
然后看见耶稣他救赎的工作。
If pastors are wondering when during the year do we talk about redemption?
然后牧师就门就会想说，那应该在一年里面什么时候要提到这救赎呢？
Here it is. God designed your calendar for you.
这边已经有了，神已经设计了这样的年历，这样节期了。
No guesses. There are no guesses here.
不必自己去猜测。
Pesach, not only the day, but the time leading up to it and the days after it is a time to talk about these doctrines.
所以不只是说是哪一天，甚至在哪一刻要开始，哪一刻结束，都已经提到，而且也提到在这样的纪念里面要谈论哪些事物。
In Leviticus 23,
在利未记二十三章
，the next holy day mentioned,
那在又提到了一个圣洁的日子
，is actually a week, seven-day period.
事实上就是一个大麦节。
It's the week of unleavened bread, the week of
matzah. 一整周，对不起，一整周的节期那是无酵饼节。
Here, whenever we are tempted to eat any kind of bread.
所以这边我们不论是做什么样的材料的一个饼。
We say no.
我们都说不要。
I will only eat matzah this week.
我这一周只吃无酵饼。
In addition to the other normal foods you would eat.
取代平常我在吃的食物。
Historically, this pictures the time it took to go from slavery in Egypt to crossing the sea.
这整个历史的节期呢，就是要回到当初在出埃及那时候，他们那时候走出去时候所吃的。
So here's the time to talk about that story.
这个时候就是要再来谈论这个故事的时候。
As far as a church teaching program,
所以是超过教会是教导的那些节目。
This is the time of the year to mention to emphasize another theological word.
这一段时间又可以来强调在圣经里面的神学观。
And that's the word salvation.
那个字眼就是救恩。
Most, if you ask most believers on the street, what's the difference between redemption and salvation?
那大部分信徒，你们知不知道关于救赎跟那个救恩有什么不一样呢
？What's the response？
那你这样讲的时候，他们回应是什么呢
？I don't know。
哎，我也不知道这有什么不一样。
I don't know。
我也不知道这有什么不一样。
Friends, we ought to know。
朋友们，我们必须要知道。
We can know.
我们可以知道的。
And how can we learn this?
那我们如何可以学会呢？
To studying the Bible for one thing,
就是从圣经里面去研究研读。
But this observing this holy time in their calendars,
所以来观察在他们整个年历里面这个圣洁的时刻。
Helps us to learn what the doctrine of salvation is.
再看看他们对救恩的定义是什么。
And how it differs from the doctrine of redemption.
然后如何跟救赎是有差有不一样的地方。
Then.In Leviticus 23,
之后在利未记二十三章
during that week of unleavened bread,
在这样的一周的无酵饼节
when the temple was standing,
当那圣殿被设立
a first fruits offering was to be brought forth,
那初熟的果子都要被献上
this is a strange kind of a first fruit offering,
那这也许对于朋友们听起来有点奇怪
The first fruits of the barley harvest was brought forth.
首先的就是那个barley 应该叫做大麦。大麦要出熟要被带进来。
The whole grain, the grain and the chaff together were brought before the Lord.
所有的这些谷类要出熟的他们就要被这样子一捆一捆带到圣殿里。
Now we can't do this because there's no temple.
我们现在没办法做是因为我们没有这样的圣殿。
But we could certainly talk about its significance.
但是我们仍然可以谈论这样的重要性。
And maybe do some little reenactions of it.
然后也许可以做一点这样的一个活动动作。
And what's its significance?
那这重要性是什么呢?
The idea of being acceptable before God.
那个想法内在的意思就是说 我们是蒙神悦纳的
We cannot make ourselves acceptable before God
我们在神面前不可能可以自己做成让神悦纳
God accepts us just as we are
神已经照着我们的本相悦纳我们
The grain and the chaff both
所有的就是这些我们那个所有这样献上代表神的悦纳那些谷类的
Some of us are involved in quite a bit of chaff Chaff is this part of the grain that you throw away.
Oh, okay. 很多人还有就是一些被丢弃的那些谷类。
And even though God does not like the chaff,
所以好像神也对那些他也很有兴趣。
In Yeshua, we are never rejected.
所以我们很多人就以为我们是被丢弃的谷类，但是要知道在耶稣里没有任何是被丢弃的谷类。
Believers are afraid.I think believers are afraid to let ourselves think like this.
所以信徒应该不要害怕来想到自己其实是被悦纳的谷类。
It speaks of our security in Messiah.
这谈论到的就是我们在基督里的安全感。
We need to talk about this.
所以你看，我们真是必须要谈论这些。
Then, according to Leviticus 23,
照着利未记二十三章
the next holy day,
接着的圣洁的日子
again is a time period.
也是一段时间的节期。
It says between Pesach.
他说在逾越节。
And the next major holy day called Shavuot or Pentecost.
还到那个五旬节之间。
There are 50 days.
那边有五十天。
50 days, we count off one day at a time.
那这五十天每一天都要数算。
Day one.
第一日。
This is day two.
第二日。
In the fields, farmers were watching the crops grow.
然后在那个田园里面，农夫看着那些谷类正在成长。
They offered the first fruit of the barley harvest.
他们就献上第一批收割的大麦。
And they're watching more and more barley ripen in the fields, getting ready for harvesting.
然后他们就看着那些大麦在田里头继续在成长当中，一直到它整个收割。
They've also planted their wheat crop.
然后他们也收割那小麦
and they're watching the wheat grow
他们也看着那小麦开始在长
because of Pentecost they're going to offer the first fruits of the wheat harvest
因为在五旬节他们就要献上那初熟的那小麦
but it's one day at a time here
但是在这边他们是一天算过一天
the scripture just says count the days
经文告诉我们要数算这个日子。
Today is today.
今天就是今天。
It's not yesterday.
不是昨天。
Whatever happened yesterday in our lives,
不管我们昨日发生什么事,
is yesterday.
那已经是昨日了。
If we walked in the flesh yesterday,
若是要你要新,那个新鲜的昨日,
today's a new day.
啊,你若是要看见那个是过去,你要看见今日,今天是新的一日了。
Today is not tomorrow.
今日也,今天也不是明日。
Whatever whatever we think might happen tomorrow,
但我们想到明日可能会发生的事,
we're not permitted to worry about it.
那事实上不该是我们要去担忧的。
Because that's tomorrow.
因为那是明日的事。
And we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
事实上我们不知道明天会发生什么事。
Today is today.
今天就只有今天。
This counting period,
这样子数算的这一段时间,
can be used by God.
可以被神来使用
to help train us in our walk as believers.
来帮助我们训练我们成为一个信徒的这样的生命形态
by focusing us on counting one day at a time.
就是帮助我们能够在每一天来数算这样的日子当中
and it helps us to live out what Yeshua taught in Matthew 6.
帮助我们活出耶稣告诉我们在马太第六章的话
do not worry about tomorrow.
不要为明日担忧
Live only for today.
你要为今日而活。
And don't let yesterday's failures stop us from living for Him today.
不要被昨日的失败拦阻了今日我们对他的跟随。
Next slide. According to Leviticus 23,
照着利未记二十三章
the next holy day is in Hebrew we call it Shavuot.
那下一个就是那个
Shavuot,
就是五旬节。
It means weeks.
那代表的就是那个小麦，那个 Shavuot 这个意思就是小麦。
We count off seven full weeks.
然后我们会数算七个周，七周。
You might know the day as Pentecost.
你应该知道五旬节。
50 days Pentecost means.
就是第五十天，就是那五旬节。
That's seven full weeks.
那就是满了七日。
It's a one-day calendar day.
那是一天每一天的数算。
And there's two things to emphasize on this day.
在这个节气里面有两个要被强调出来。
In the days that the temple stood.
那个就是说那个圣殿的观念。
It's another first fruit holy day.
然后另外一个就是圣洁的日子。
So we get to talk about the concept of first fruits.
所以我们就要有这样子的一个出手果子的观念。
What does it mean for Yeshua to be the first fruits?
那在耶稣里面那出手的果子是什么意思呢
？What does it mean for us to be first fruits in Him?
在对我们来讲，在他里面那出手的果子又是什么呢
？This is the time of the year to talk about it.
这个就是在那时候要开始谈论的。
To teach our children.
来教导我们的儿女。
To celebrate it.
来庆祝。
We can even have a little practice first fruit celebration in our congregations.
甚至我们在所有的会众里面也可以开始稍微的庆贺，用这样的方式来庆贺。
Where everybody brings first fruits of whatever and we give it to the poor.
然后就是会众带来那你家中出手的果子，然后带过来出手的，然后再来我们都给那些穷人。
Over the centuries,
在这么多世纪
the rabbis have noticed something else about this particular day.
在拉比也在这样特别日子也会给予一些特别的话。
They notice that this day in the Bible,
他们知道在圣经里的这一个节期
comes right about the time when God gave His Torah on Mount Sinai.
就是从神在西乃山给他的话给出他的话语的第一天。
And so this could be a day when we celebrate.This book, we celebrate the Bible.
所以这五旬节的第一天可以就是我们庆贺这圣经经文的这一个日子。
When's the last time we had a celebration just over this book?
什么时候我们最后一次来庆贺我们有这一本书的呢
well, we celebrate, we actually celebrate and rejoice the fact that God spoke to us.
然后我们真的什么时候真的在庆贺神自己来对我们说话了呢
And he had the grace and love to write what he spoke down in the book we call the Bible.
他有极大的爱写下他要给我们的话我们称他为圣经的
This is the time.
就是这个节期可以来庆祝了。
Believers in Yeshua,
那相信耶稣的
know one more thing about this special day.
也知道关于这个节期的还多一件事
In Acts chapter 2,
就是在使徒行传第 二章。
It was during a Shavuot celebration in the temple.
就是在圣殿里面过这样的节期。
Where the Spirit of God empowered the believers to share the good news.
就是在五旬节，圣灵的大能就降临，让他们可以去传讲好消息。
And as a result, a first fruits offering was offered a people.
所以在这五旬节，这个圣灵大降临之后，那出熟的果子，出收割送上的果子，就是那些人的灵魂。
This is the time of year to talk about the Spirit of God.
这一刻就是在这年整年里面可以来谈论关于神的灵的事了。
And we use all five senses in talking about all these things.
我们也要涵盖五觉观来谈论这个事。
There are things we could eat.
我们有东西可以吃。
Things we can make and do.
有些东西我们这么做，然后可以去摸。
Things to hear, see, and smell.
有些事物是可以去听见，可以去看见，可以去闻到的。
And then,
之后,
after a summer of no special days,
知道了这些特别的节期之后,
we come to the fall.
我们看到已经进入秋天了,
where according to Leviticus chapter 23,
照着利未记23章,
we gather together as a people,
我们如同神的百姓聚集在一起,
for the purpose of hearing a shofar.
就是有目的要听见他的号声。
What's a shofar?
那个号角是什么？
What is its biblical significance?
在圣经里面到底有什么重要性呢？
What do its sounds mean?
那要听见这个声音，这个声音又是什么意思呢？
How important is it to hear a shofar?
要听见这个号角声有多重要呢？
Those of us who are so intent on hearing God's voice apart from the scripture.
所以这很重要，我们要在圣经经文里面要听见神的声音。
Are missing a major vehicle that communicates that voice.
已经错失了很多用这样神用他的声音来跟我们沟通的了。
And that's the sound of a shofar.
这样要让我们听见那个声音，就是那个吹角节。
On the day when the shofar is to be sounded.
在那一日，那号角要被吹响。
Because God spoke at Mount Sinai.
因为神在西乃山说话。
And it sounded like a shofar.
他的声音听起来就如同号角。
One of the purposes for the shofar.
还有其中一个吹角日的目的。
And I say only one of the purposes.
我应该讲这么讲，这唯一的目的。
Is to call God's people to repentance.
就是要呼唤神的百姓要进入悔改。
This is the time of the year to discuss shofar and repentance.
这一日节期就是要讨论这吹角节，然后再来要悔改。
Again,
再一次。
We are hearing, seeing, smelling, touching.
我们真的是听见、看见、闻到、触摸到。
10 days after this,
在十天之后。
According to Leviticus 23,
照着利未记二十三章。
Is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, we say in Hebrew.
然后就在希伯来文叫 Yom Kippur, 就是赎罪日。
A whole chapter is devoted to Yom Kippur in the Bible.
在整个圣经里面，整章都在讲那个赎罪日。
Leviticus chapter 16.
就是利未记十六章。
What does it mean?
那是什么意思呢？
What does atonement mean?
那赎罪日是什么意思？
In this day we talk about the meaning of atonement.
那在这个日子我们要谈论赎罪的意义。
We talk about sin.
我们谈到关于罪。
What it means to be cleansed from sin.
然后从罪中得洁净是什么意思？
What it means for Yeshua to die as our atoning sacrifice.
在耶稣为我们赎罪而死，这个又是什么意思？
It's the only commanded fast day in the Bible.
这是在圣经里面唯一一个命令要禁食的日子。
So it's a day to talk about fasting and actually do it.
所以这个日子谈论是禁食，然后我们就很具体的就是禁食。
And so there's things that again involving all the senses.
你看在这个节期也涵盖了所有的五觉观。
At the same time, I hope you're noticing.
同时我希望你们也注意到。
That these special days provide a very critical theological preaching and teaching calendar for God's people.
事实上，这提供了给神的百姓整年度很明确、很具体的要教导的内容。
Two more special days left.
再来还有两个节期。
Five days on the 15th day. I'm sorry.Five days after Yom Kippur,
在赎罪日五日之后
according to Leviticus 23,
照着利未记二十三章
in Hebrew, Sukkot,
那在希伯来文叫 Shukkot,
in English, the Feast of Tabernacles,
那在英文就称为祝棚节
This is like one of the most incredible times of the entire calendar year.
这是在整个年历里面最奇妙的一个节期。
It lasts for 7 days.
是有七天之久。
Where God says, build a temporary shelter and live in it.
神说盖一个棚子，这七天住在里头。
It's a day when we remember again the coming out of Egypt.
这个日子就是要来纪念我们离开埃及地。
It's also a harvest festival.
而且也是收割的节期。
And because of all this, God says rejoice for 7 days.
所以因为如此，神定义在命令我们在这七天里面要欢乐。
I don't think we really get this.
我觉得我们好像没有真的懂这些。
God actually gave commands to eat.
然后神在这个节期，他命令你要吃。
And God actually says, be happy for 7 days.
而且神命令说在这七天就是要欢乐。
How horrible can this be?
那这样的字眼如何可以真的传达呢?
For 7 days.
就七天欸。
The family.
那整个家庭。
With the children.
带着孩子。
We design and make a temporary booth.
我们盖了一个暂时的一个棚子。
If you don't have a yard or a balcony, put it up in the living room.
若是没有后院也没有前院，那就在卧房里面盖一个棚子。
I know it looks strange.
我知道这听起来有点奇怪。
There provides your wonderful teaching tool for your neighbors who are going to say this is strange.
这就提供了你可以跟邻居解释的机会，因为邻居觉得好奇怪。
And the children decorate it.
然后还要装饰一下。
And you live in there.
而且你要睡在里头。
You take your meals there.
在那边吃你的三餐。
You have prayer there.
在那边在里头祷
告。And you eat there.
在里头吃东西
and you have study there.
而且在那边研读
and you eat there.
而且在那又在那边吃
and you live in there.
又在那边睡
and you eat there.
又在那边吃
you get the picture.
你要看到那画面
this is all fun.
那多有乐趣哎
in fact,
事实上
according to Deuteronomy chapter 14,
照着生命记十四章
God says,
神说
We've been wondering how are we going to. Where's the money going to come for all this celebrating during the year?
在这一整年要庆贺这些节期，那些钱财哪里来？
God provides for that too.
神也提供且供应了。
In Deuteronomy chapter 14.
在生命记十四章。
Don't tell your pastor I said this.
不要告诉你的牧师，我告诉你们这个。
It talks about tithing.
我们谈到关于十一奉献。
It doesn't say to tithe to the church.
他十一奉献不是说奉献给教会。
It says to tithe several times, actually.
事实上是说在他已经指定在哪一些时刻你要做十一。
And one of those tithes we keep ourselves.
其中一个十一是为自己存留。
And it says spend it on anything that we so desire when we come to celebrate God's holy days.
所以这要照着我们的那渴望在庆贺神的节期。
It's like God saying, here is a savings account for us. Here is a savings account.
所以这就像如同是神叫我们要储蓄一样。
10% of our income
在我们所有收入的10%
are to be set aside
要分别开来
so that we as a family have the money to rejoice and buy food and celebrate these holy days
然后我们全家人就有这样的储蓄可以在神指定的节期来供应这所有的庆贺
You want some wine?
你想要喝一点酒
It says, go buy wine with it.
那你就用你的储蓄先买一点酒
You want some beer?
你想要有一些啤酒
It says, go buy some beer with it.
那就买一些啤酒来庆贺
That's the Hebrew word behind the word strong drink. It's really beer.
It's a real beer.
It's really beer.
他是说在那个你知道先前讲说不要酒醉他事实上讲的就是那个啤酒
You like pineapple cake?
你喜欢苹果派吗
Go buy it.
你喜欢那个凤梨酥那你就去买凤梨酥来吃
Sushi? How about sushi?
那 sushi 怎么样呢
Hot pot. Go get a new hot pot.
火锅咧火锅也很好
There's the money for it right there.
已经储存了储蓄了这钱可以来庆贺了
God says spend your tithe, one of your tithes,buying these things for the holy days.
神说储蓄下你其中一部分的十一就是要来完成神要求的这样的庆贺。
What a view of God does this present?
你看看神所提供出来的这样的一个画面到底是什么样。
Do our children know these things about God?
神的儿女知道神这些心意吗?
Here's the time to teach them.
这也是可以教导的时刻就到了。
During Sukkot, 7 days of doing this.
这七天都要这么做。
Finally,
最后
it says in Leviticus 23,
在利未记23章
that right when Sukkot ends,
那称为总结
there's one final day.
那有一个最后一日
The Bible calls it the eighth day.
最后一日在圣经里称为第八日
It's really a separate day from Sukkot.
那事实上就是从那个所有的那个日子中分别出来的一日
And we're not told exactly what to do in that day.
那我们没办法知道那在那一日他真实的那些该做什么
In the days that the temple stood,
在那个圣殿的时刻
When the people of Israel went up to Jerusalem for these things,
当那些百姓上到耶路撒冷在守这些节期
they spent the eighth day,
他们也花那个也在那边过第八日
just staying in Jerusalem.
第八日就是单单待在耶路撒冷
staying around.
就是待在那里
Why?
为什么呢
Because the celebration of Sukkot was so sweet.
因为来庆祝这第八日是那么的甜蜜
They didn't want to go right home to face all the problems again right away.
因为就是他们庆贺完了之后，他们不想要就马上回家去面对一切那些艰难的环境。
But there's something much better than that.
但是还有更美好的事。
They wanted to spend one extra day in the presence of the king.
他们想要花多一日的时间。在那个他们的王的同在里
That's how they spent the eighth day.
这是为什么他们有一个第八日了
The eighth day is a great day for God's people to get together.
第八日就是给神的百姓很棒的一个聚集的日子
And to talk about this whole cycle of special days this past year.
在这里就他们就会谈论在整年这八个这个节期五六七八九
This could take all night.
这会花他们一整夜的时间在谈论。
What a wonderful time it would be.
那会是多么美妙的一个时间。
Family after family gets up.
那些家庭跟家庭不断的这样子聚集在一起。
Father, mother, children.
父亲、母亲还有孩子们。
Well, they get up and they just share with the rest of the God's people.
他们就在神的百姓当中不断的站起来分享。
What this past year's celebration times meant to them.
过去这一年来所庆贺的这些节期对他们有多大的意义
What they learned from it.
他们也分享他们学到了什么
well, How they were challenged.
他们如何面对这些挑战
How joyful it was.
那他们有多么的喜乐
And were sharing with each other.
他们就这样彼此不断的分享
Getting each other ready, encouraging each other to begin next year's cycle celebration.
来鼓励彼此能够开始在面对来开始要预备下一整年这样的庆贺。
Pesach is just one of those celebrations.
所以这样的节期就是他们其中一个庆祝的。
I try to show you here how Pesach fits into the whole calendar of celebration.
我试着把这些节期让你们知道在神的概念里面要我们这么去庆贺的。
What we're really doing is celebrating our redemption throughout the year.
事实上，我们就是整年就是要来庆贺我们的救赎。
I have to change the slides. Hang on one moment.
哎，对不起，我要来。
Part two.
Part two. OK,、yeah. 要来选一下，我可能要跳过一些投影片。
So I know that a lot of the things that I just said.
我有发现刚刚我们所说的这一切。
Some of you know more about them than others.
有些人你会比其他人知道更多一些。
Some of this may have been new words, new concepts for you.
也许有些人这些都是新的字眼、新的观念。
That's okay.
那都没问题。
My whole idea was just to get our appetites wet. Appetizers wet.
反正我这一次主要就是给你们一些甜菜，让吊吊你们的胃口。
And to show God's intention to educate His people by these holy days.
来看见原来神借由这些他分别出来神圣的日子，是为了教育他的百姓。
We are now ready to go to the next section of Exodus.
那我们要进入在出埃及记的下面一段。
Chapters 14 to 19.
那就是十四章到十九章。
And we call this section the journey of the redeemed.
我们称这个部分为被救赎者的旅程。
I love to teach on this particular section.
跳过几篇啊。
This is the section in the book of Exodus.
这个部分在出埃及记里。
Where it takes us historically from crossing the sea.
这个就是整个在出埃及的历史里面跨过红海
to Mount Sinai，
要面对西乃山。
It's a journey.
那是一个旅程。
And it raises some important topics for us.
所以对我们来讲是也是很重要的一个主题。
Let's first discuss the theological significance of this time period.
在这一段时间，那神学性的重要是什么呢？
As we do so,
当我这么做，
there's a certain word we're going to need to know.
有一些特别的字眼是我们必须知道的。
How would you describe this kind of land?
我们如何描述 相片这一种土地呢？
Most people call it a desert.
大部分人称它为沙漠。
In our translations of the Bible,
在我们圣经的翻译里，
it says that after the children of Israel left Egypt,
就是当以色列百姓离开埃及，
after they crossed the sea,
他们跨过红海，
it says they went out into the desert.
然后之后进入沙漠。
But that's not true.
那不是真的。
There is a Hebrew word for desert.
在希伯来文里面有沙漠的字。
But it's not used in this passage.
并不是用在这一段经文里面。
Rather, a different Hebrew word is used.
在这个经文里面，它用另外一个希伯来字。
And it describes a different kind of geographical feature.
它这个字也描述不一样的地理样子。
This picture also looks like a desert.
这个画面，这个图片看起来也像是沙漠。
But it's not.
但是事实上不是。
This is closer to what the Bible calls wilderness.
这个这样的地理样子，在圣经里面的字眼称为旷野。
A wilderness differs from a desert.
旷野跟沙漠是不一样的。
Desert is a place where you go to die.
那沙漠是好像你要死掉的地方。
You can't live in a desert.
在沙漠里面不可能存活。
A wilderness sometimes looks like a desert. That's why it fools people.
这旷野有时候看起来会像沙漠，所以有时候会欺骗的人。
But a wilderness can support life.
但是在旷野中，生命仍然可以生存。
Shepherds sometimes take their sheep into the wilderness.
有时候牧羊人会把他们的羊群带到旷野。
It looks like they're eating dirt and rocks.
看起来都是土跟那个岩石。
But they're actually eating little tiny plants.
但事实上这其中都有小小的那个小小的植物草。
Shepherds know where to find water sources in the wilderness.
牧羊人也知道在旷野如何找水源。
You have to know these things, or else you will die in the wilderness too.
他们必须要知道这些知识，要不然他们在旷野也会死掉。
A wilderness is also a good place to go for protection.
旷野也是一个很好可以保护的地方。
If you know how to survive there, you can survive.
如果是你知道如何在旷野生存的话，你在那边可以生存得很好。
And be protected from enemies.
而且是可以很好的保护，免于敌人。
King David often went into the wilderness to flee from Saul.
大卫王常常就是逃到旷野来躲避扫罗王。
Now, it says in the Bible,
在圣经这么说,
that this is where God took the children of Israel.
这就是神带以色列百姓去的地方。
He took them into the wilderness.
带他们进到旷野。
The wilderness in Hebrew,
在希伯来文的旷野,
is the word midbar.
就是 midbar.
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 This is a very important word.
这是很重要的字。
Actually,There are several different kinds of wildernesses that Israel would go through.
事实上，在以色列有几个不太一样的旷野。
On their way up to the Promised Land.
就是在那个应许地迦南地那里。
Midbar.
Midbar.
Is a word that means wilderness.
那就是其中一个旷野。
A very arid place where there's little water, but you can survive.
Cannot.
Can.
Okay. 那这样的旷野就是有一些水小溪是你可以在那边生存的。
The dirt is very fertile, it just needs some water.
那土地事实上是很肥沃，只是需要水源。
But you have to know survival of the wilderness to survive there.
如果是你知道如何在旷野生存的话，在这样的旷野里面你是可以生存下来。
The word midbar.
那这个字眼 midbar.
Is exactly the same pronunciation and same letters of another Hebrew word.
它跟另外一个希伯来字眼是同样的字，同样的发音。
It's not the same word. It just sounds the same and looks the same.
不同样的字，但是听起来是很一样，看起来也很像。
That word is midaber.
那个字就是 midaber。
Midaber, midbar, the same letters.
Midaber 跟 midbar 是同样一个那些同样一个字。
but different words.
但是却是不一样的意思。
Midaber.
Midaber
means speak.
那意思就是说说话。
To speak.
是说话。
Now that's where our significance lies.
那就是最在我们头面最重要的那个部分。
Remember Egypt.
记不记得埃及？
Was a place where that's it's a narrow place.
还记不记得早上有看到埃及是一个狭窄之地
？A place where you cannot hear God's voice.
在那边是很狭隘狭窄，听不见神声音。
God took His people out of Egypt.
神把他百姓从埃及带出来。
And led them into the Midbar.
把他们带到 Midbar。
It was in the Midbar.
是在 Midbar 旷野。
That God Midaber.
神在那边跟他们相遇。
That God spoke.
神在那边说话。
It was in the Midbar called Sinai, where God spoke His word to them.
就是在有一个 Midbar 叫称为西乃旷野，神在那边跟他百姓相遇。
But that wasn't the only Midbar.
但是那不是唯一一个 Midbar 旷野。
Midbar in the Book of Exodus.
在出埃及记面的旷野 Midbar.
Becomes like a metaphor.
Yeah, like a
symbolic word.
就变成是一个记号了。
When God led His people into the Midbar,
当神带他百姓进到那个 Midbar 这样的旷野
，it was to take them away from all the busyness of Egypt.
意思那个就是带他们离开那个极忙碌的埃及
，away from all the distractions of Egypt.
在带离开那个分散他们注意力的埃及。
In the Midbar, there's nothing.
在 Midbar 旷野里面什么都没有。
Most people would be bored there.
大部分人在那边会开始觉得无聊。
It's you, the scorpions, the dirt, and the stars.
就是那些沙土，还有也许是那蝎子，还有天空星星这样而已。
And that's the point.
但是那个就是重点。
It's in the Midbar that we have time and space.To hear God.
就是在 Midbar 旷野，我们才有时间，才有空间来听见神。
God took Israel out to the Midbar.
神把以色列百姓带到那 Midbar 旷野。
So we could teach them how to hear His voice.
好让他来教导他们如何听见他的声音。
It was in the Midbar that God spoke to His people.
是在这旷野里面，神在对他的百姓说话。
And taught them many wonderful, wonderful things.
而且在那边教导他们极多的很美妙的事物。
See, we have it all wrong sometimes.
你看，有时候我们真的想错了。
When we're going through a dry period in our life,
当我们生命中进入那枯干期
，it looks like nothing's going on spiritually.
觉得好像属灵什么都没有。
We call it a wilderness experience.
我们就称它为旷野的经历。
We have it all wrong.
你看，都讲错了。
We should desire wilderness experiences.
我们事实上必须要渴望旷野的经历的。
Because a biblical wilderness experience,
因为在圣经里面所谓的旷野的经历
is when God pulls us apart from all the business of life.
是神把我们神的百姓带离一切忙碌的日子出来到外面
from all the Egypt around us.
就是周边我们说的忙碌，就像埃及环绕着我们
to a place where there's no distractions.
在带我们进到一个不会分散我们注意力的地方
no cell groups to worry about.
没有小不必去烦恼你的小组要怎么带
No Bible reading prayer times to worry about
不必去担心现在要去查经班现在要去祷告会的时候
Nothing
那边什么都没有
Just us and God
只有我们跟神
When we are together
我们就这么跟他相聚
This doesn't have to be in a real physical midbar like you see in the picture
所以这是需要有一个很真实的旷野就像你在图片看到的
This could be your own living room
这有可能不见得就是要有这样像这样的旷野这你旷野有可能是在你的卧房
A midbar is where God can midbar God can speak
这个就 Midbar 旷野就是让神可以 Midbar 就让神可以说话的地方
And we need to learn to hear His voice
我们必须要学习听他的声音
When we follow the journey of God's redeemed in Exodus 14 to 19,
当我们看到出埃及记14章到19章, 神在带着他这些他的救赎这样的旅程,
they were traveling through the Midbars.
他们旅行经过这些旷野,
and God was teaching them.
神正在教导他们,
there are other voices out there.
那边是有别的声音的,
we need to learn the difference between God's voice and those other voices.
所以在那边要学习听分辨出是神的声音,
because when we're in a place where there's no distractions,
因为当我们去到一个没有分不会分散我们注意力的地方,
where God can speak to us,
就是那神可以跟我说话的地方,
those other voices will take the opportunity also.
当然在那时候, 其他声音有可能会介入,
take Yeshua,
就带着耶稣,
at the beginning of his ministry,
就是举例耶稣在我们举耶稣的例子, 对不起, 当耶稣要进入他的服事的时候,
Yeshua was in the Jordan Valley in Jericho.
他是耶稣在耶利哥的约旦河受洗,
hundreds of meters below sea level.
是几百海里低于海平面,
where it's hot and dry.
那边是很热很干,
and God was taking him up to Jerusalem in the mountains.
所以接着神把他带到耶路撒冷到山上,
to get from Jericho to Jerusalem,
要从耶利哥到耶路撒冷,
which is hundreds of meters above sea level,
那事实上是等于有几个海里那个叫做什么那个几百个海拔的差异性,
you pass through a vast wilderness,
必须要经过这样的旷野,
the wilderness of Judah,
那就是犹大旷野,
it's one of the most famous midbars in Israel,
那是在以色列最有名的一个旷野,
there's nothing,
那边一无所有,
just rolling hills of dirt and sand,
只有那小丘都是沙子都是岩石,
but there are sheep tracks,
那是有些羊在走的那些小径,
because the sheep can eat the little tiny pieces of grass that make might grow,
因为在那些地方羊可以找到一些长出来小小的草,
there are water sources,
没有其他的那个资源,
but you have to be able to find them,
是有其他资源, 对不起, 是有其他资源, 但是你要去找到,
for most people it's a vast area of nothingness,
那对大部分人来讲, 他们就看这个旷野是根本一无所有的,
do you remember what happened to Yeshua there?
你还记不记得耶稣在旷野发生什么事呢?
He was alone,
他是单独一人,
no distractions,
没有任何的分散注意力,
he got hungry,
他就饿了,
he got thirsty,
就渴了,
and who spoke?
谁说话了呢?
Exactly, Satan spoke to him.
是的, 撒旦就对他说话,
now fortunately for Yeshua,
所以还好对耶稣来说,
he already knew how to tell God's voice from that other voice.
他已经可以分辨出耶稣神的声音或是撒旦的声音,
Israel needed to learn that too.
以色列人也必须学会这个,
we all need to learn it.
我们每一个都需要学会这个,
so God took Israel out to the Midbar,
所以神就把以色列百姓带到旷野里,
to train them to hear God's voice,
训练他们听见神的声音,
yes, the word Midbar is wilderness. The word Midbar, spelled the same way, means he speaks.
好, Midbar 指的是旷野, 那 Midbar 就是他在说话, 你看那个字是长得一样,
what was God doing with Israel?
那神对以色列百姓还做了什么呢?
Well, there's Egypt on the left.
那他们已经离开埃及,
God was taking them through the Midbar of Sinai,
神把他们从这边带进西乃旷野,
to get them to the promised land,
要带他们进入应许地,
as Israel was leaving Egypt,
当以色列民离开埃及,
this slide right here, okay, there are three places of movement for the people of Israel,
所以有三个地方对以色列百姓是很重要的,
they began in Egypt,
他们从埃及出发,
they had to pass through the Midbar,
必须穿过旷野,
and they're heading to the promised land,
来朝向应许地,
how were they to live in the promised land after having been slaves in Egypt?
如何他们在埃及地已经习惯为奴的日子, 如何在应许之地重新生活呢?
God took them on a most incredible learning journey.
神把他们带进一个很奇妙的那个学习之旅。
Egypt was a place where they couldn't hear his voice.
埃及是听不到神的声音的地方。
They had to learn to leave Egypt behind.
他们必须学习把埃及丢到后头去。
Physically, they came out of Egypt.
在实际上，他们是离开埃及了。
Now they had to learn to leave Egypt behind.
他们现在开始学习把埃及丢一边去。
Coming out of Egypt was relatively easy. Coming out of Egypt was relatively easy.
要离开埃及反而还真的离开埃及还比较容易一点。
Learning to leave Egypt behind was much more difficult.
但是要学习把埃及事物丢一边反而是更困难的。
It was through the journey in the Midbar that they would learn this.
就是透过在旷野这样的旅程来带着他们重新学习。
But that's only half of the learning process.
但是这只有一半的学习的过程。
As they were learning to leave Egypt behind,
带着他们学习要把埃及事物丢一边的当中。
Coming up out of Egypt into the wilderness,
从埃及出来要进到旷野。
They also had to get prepared to live in the promised land.
而且他们要被预备好，要进入应许地。
And this acquired a whole new set of skills.
这就需要完全新的一个技术技巧了。
The wilderness experience was one of training.
旷野的经历就是给他们的训练。
Where God would train Israel.
神要来训练以色列民。
To mentally.
在他们的思考状态里
and emotionally,
还有在他们的心理状态
leave Egypt behind,
是要真的把埃及的事物丢一边去
and learn to live in God's promised land,
来学习如何在神应许之地过不一样的生活心态。
This is a very important section for us to follow.
这是很重要的一个部分，是我们必须也要跟随的。
Because we go through the same exact journey.
事实上，我们每个人也在经历同样的旅程。
When God rescued us from slavery to sin,
神把我们从罪的奴隶中救赎出来。
That was relatively easy.
反而对我们来讲是稍微容易一点。
Yeshua did that for us.
是耶稣已经为我们成就了。
But now we have to learn.
现在是我们必须要去学习了。
We have to learn how not to think like Egypt.
我们要学习如何不要再有埃及的思想。
Living in Egypt, our minds were trained to live in Egypt.
在活在埃及地的时候，我们的心思意念已经被训练成为像埃及的心思意念。
Our experiences that we had.
我们所拥有的一切的经验。
The voices that we hear,
我们所听到的一切的声音
our value systems,
我们的价值观系统
our senses of right and wrong and justice,
我们对与错还有公义正义的那些感觉
have all been trained by Egypt,
都是在埃及被训练
from the moment we stepped into the kindergarten,
从那我们进到幼稚园开始
we were being trained by Egypt and we didn't realize it,
我们都被训练是埃及的系统但是我们却自己不知道
a good little boy and good little girl gets A's and hundreds, right?
所以一个好孩子应该要得一百分，对不对？
We were taught performance-based acceptance.
我们已经被教导是你要好的表现才能被接纳。
If I just do good and smile nicely, everybody can say what a nice little boy and girl.
只要我行为很好，然后我都在微笑，人家就说我哦，这个好孩子。
That's performance-based acceptance.
那事实上是靠着表现才被接纳。
It permeates our educational system.
所以这就是我们的教育的体系。
Where we think that if we get hundreds, we're okay.
然后我们想说我们得到一百分，那就没问题了。
A child that gets 70s is either rebellious or lazy.
如果是我们考试只得70分，就会说我们是懒惰，我们是悖逆。
Does that sound familiar?
听起来我们有点熟悉。
That's Egypt.
那就是埃及地。
We have to learn to get Egypt out of our minds.
我们必须学习把埃及的那种思想观念丢一边去。
As a new creation of Messiah,
身为在弥赛亚里面的新造的。
We have the mind of Messiah.
我们必须拥有弥赛亚的心思意念。
But we have a memory of what it was like to be in Egypt.
但是我们里面存留的记忆都是埃及的。
Growth means.
成长的意思是
learning to yield our members to Messiah in us,
就是学习把那个我们的记忆让开来，让给弥赛亚。
Growth means
成长的意思是
learning to take our thoughts captive.
然后把学习把我们那个里面的记忆的那些容量可以存留的。
Growth means learning to recognize what is Egypt in our thinking.
成长的意思就是去分辨出在我们里面的容量容纳里面有哪些是埃及的。
And by means of the word of God,
然后照着神的话语的意思
reprogram our thinker.
我们就是已经定义了我们的思想的方式思考的方式了
with the value system and the words of God's kingdom
就是那个价值的系统还要重新再来进入到神的话语的系统
that's the journey of the redeemed
那就是救赎之旅
now
现在
because of the time
因为时间的关系
what I would really really like to do
我现在很想要这么做
Is stop at the different places of Exodus chapter 14 to 19.
就是我们停在这十四章到十九章。
And share some of the highlights of their journey.
在这样的旅程中间，我们会特别标明一些。
But I think having just given the principle behind this journey is sufficient.
那在要标出这个旅程那个整个的重要性的重点其实是蛮重要的。
This was the theological significance of the journey from Egypt to the Promised Land.
所以从埃及旅行到应许之地，这样的过程，这样的一个神学观是很重要的。
What I would like to do now is just skip over some things.
所以现在我们要在跳掉一些投影片
and talk about the political or government significance of this section of Exodus. And before our afternoon break, I'd like to cover the government significance of this section of Exodus.
所以在休息之前，我们快快再来谈，在这里面，在这些章节里面谈到政治性跟统治性的重要。
This section
这个部分
contains incredible information about leadership.
包含了很重要的所谓的领袖层。
Near the end of their journey,
在他们要结束这旅程之前
after Israel left Egypt,
就是在以色列百姓离开埃及之后
in Exodus chapter 18,
在出埃及记十八章
as they're at Mount Sinai,
就是他们在那个西乃山
and before God spoke to them there,
他们神就在那边对他们说话
Israel received a visitor.
然后以色列民就看到一个拜访者
His name was Jethro
就是他的名字叫做叶特罗
Moses' father-in-law
就是摩西的岳父
He was not an Israelite
他不是以色列人
But he was a good friend of Moses
但是他是摩西的好朋友
And he came to where the children of Israel were encamped
他就进到以色列的帐幕里
And he acted like a consultant
然后他在那边就像一个顾问一样。
He saw what Moses was going through as a leader.
他看见摩西身为一个领袖在那边所做的一切。
After all, there are about 3 million people here now.
你知道在那时候已经有三百万人了。
And Moses and Aaron were taking the most of the leadership.
然后摩西跟亚伦是主要带领的这两个人。
And they were wearing themselves out.
然后他们把自己搞得精疲力竭。
Moses' father-in-law
是摩西的岳父
takes his son-in-law to the side and says, Moshe
就把这个女婿带到一边说摩西
I have some advice for you
我可以给你一些建议吗
And in this chapter
在这一章
He talks about selecting qualified elders to lead God's people
他说要挑选一些符合资格的长老去带领神的百姓。
Qualified elders to lead God's people.
符合资格的长老去带领这些神的百姓。
This is not just one person.
所以这不是只有一个人。
Now Moses has to share the leadership with other qualified people.
现在摩西必须把这个带领权跟其他合资格的长老来分享了。
And it's just the pattern for biblical leadership ever since.
这是在里面就谈到关于这个领袖层的部分了。
What does Paul tell Timothy?
保罗怎么告诉提摩太呢
？He says ordain elders plural.
就是这群长老们。
In your congregation in every city.
在每一个城市，在每一个群众里的长老。
God's people are to be led by God's people.
神的百姓要被属神的百姓带领。
Not one man.
不是一个人的带领。
Moses was one man.
摩西是单独一人。
Jethro said, you can't do it.
叶特柔说你不可能这么做得来。
Select qualified leaders.
选一些符合资格的长老。
To help share the work with you.
去跟你一起分担这样的带领。
With you.
跟你一起带。
Most people, a lot of people think.
大部分人想。
That the New Testament equivalent of Moses is the local pastor.
然后在新约里面大部分人就想说在新约里面看摩西就像那个地方教会的牧师。
It's not.
不是的。
The New Testament equivalent of Moses is Yeshua.
在新约里面讲摩西就像耶稣一样。
In Yeshua's body,
在耶稣的肢体里
leadership is shared by multiple leaders.
这样的领袖团是那些多样的人组合而成为一个领袖群。
There's danger with one man leading.
假如是单一个人来带领的话，那是非常危险的。
Danger to him and danger to the people.
对他自己来讲很危险，对被带领的百姓也很危险。
Jethro saw that clearly.
叶特罗很清楚看见这个了。
And so he was teaching Moses about those dangers.
所以他就教导摩西关于这样的危险性。
Leadership is to be shared equally with qualified people.
那这样的领袖层呢，必须跟那些合资格人一起来分享这样的带领。
Qualified people.
符合资格的百姓。
The word for elder in Hebrew.
在希伯来文里面的长老。
Provides a beautiful picture of something.
也为我们画出一个很美的画面。
There's a word play in Hebrew.
这边有一个希伯来文这么讲。
Elder is the word zaken.
长老的发音就是 zaken.
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 That means elder.
那意思就是长老。
Another word that sounds almost the same.
还有另外一个字听起来几乎是一样发音的。
And spelled the same.
那个拼音也一样，拼法也一样。
Is the word zakan.
就是 zakan.
What does the word zakan mean?
Zakan 的意思是什么？
It means beard.
那就是胡须的意思。
God commands that men wear a beard according to the Torah.
所以神就是那个照着妥拉他的经文讲的说那些有胡须的人
that's if they could grow one.
那个就是要长了很久的。
Why?
为什么呢？
Is this another one of those legalistic things that's so characteristic of Torah?
那难道也是在妥拉里面另外一个比较律法式的想法吗？
Heaven forbid.
不是这样啦。
There's an important lesson God is teaching us here.
在这边神有一个很重要的要教导给我们。
It's tied up in the words Zakan and Zakan.
就是在这样的 Zakan 就胡须跟 Zakan 长老这样的一个连结式。
Zakan is an elder.
Zakan 是长老。
Supposedly a wise one.
意思就是一个智者。
Who sat at the city gates with the council of elders, protecting and leading God's people.
那些是坐在城门口来辅导辅导百姓解决纠纷的。
How do little boys grow up and become Zakanim?
那个一个年轻的男孩女孩如何能够成为 Zakani?
A little boy. Oh. Okay. After the break.
必须休息了。
You have to wait after the break.
必须要等休息完了。
Go break.
好，可以休息。